Thanks for checking out the Anchor Faith Message podcast from St. Augustine, Florida. Now enjoy this message.
Here we are now beyond 20 years, and the Lord has prepared us with another prophecy for the church concerning our reach. And it's not by accident that he would use branches. For anyone who does construction or, you know, you just drive around St. Augustine long enough or our county, you'll realize a lot of things are being built. The thing that is being built that we don't see most of the time is what's called the infrastructure or what's underneath the ground. When you go in and build a neighborhood, they're going to come in and they got to build all the pipe that's going to run all the sewage. And they're going to lay all the curbs that are going to be able to get water drainage. All kinds of things take place, prepare the ground. All these things take place before the first foundation of a house hits. And then once that hits, there's the foundational size where they're digging a footer and they're putting the pipe in. All that's underneath the foundation itself. And then the foundation, and once that's laid and it's cured, that they can build. And the foundation is designed to hold a certain amount above it. The larger the building and the more weight it is, the stronger the foundation must be. So we obviously had a 20-year foundation build. Hallelujah. And so that's why the prophecy said all of a sudden there to be, there's some exponential things that will take place. We are in the season of exponential. Now, things don't take place without faith. Can I just say that? Things that I will talk about moving forward from here, nothing is obtained in God's realm without faith. Amen. Period. If you come across something without faith, somebody else's faith brought it to you. Period. Somebody else's faith brought it to you. The man that was at the pool of Bethesda, he had no faith, but God did. Jesus did. And it was Jesus's faith that brought that man up. Are you hearing me? It wasn't God just did it. Someone was in faith. Someone was pulling the unseen realm into the seen realm, pulling heaven into the earth. If anything good's happened to your life by God, somebody was in faith that pulled it to you. It doesn't happen by chance. It happens because faith's here. And let me just say this. It's so much faith that faith can carry beyond a person's lifetime. What do I mean by that? It's not by chance that Joseph's bones leave Egypt. It's because he said by faith, when you leave, carry my bones. So that faith statement could go through generations. And when someone had the thought, you know, we ought to take Joseph's bones with us now that we're leaving, was not a coincidence. It was because faith was in the earth to cause it to come to pass. You may have had a great grandma praying for your generation right now. And some of the blessings and things that are happening in your life is because of their faith is pulling it into your life. So you understand God's not mysterious in the context that he does what he wants to do when he wants to do and we have no clue. No, somebody's active in faith somewhere at some season and you're benefiting from it. Now, the cool thing is once you learn how to live by faith yourself, you're not dependent on someone else's faith. Not only can you use faith for yourself, but in turn, you can then activate your faith for others. But you understand, your faith doesn't overcome everyone else's obstacles. So faith's required. In fact, in the prophecy, it said that seed, we would reap of seed planted in the earth, not because of what we did, but because we positioned ourselves as a body. I surmise that in St. Augustine, which is considered the oldest city in our nation. Why? Because it's the oldest continuous city. Once it got established, it did not close. There were cities older than St. Augustine, but they shut down. Even if they were reincorporated, there was a time it was off. With St. Augustine, it is the oldest because of that. And because of that, there are things that have happened in this community that we may be walking in that someone else prayed back in the 1600s. Somebody else could have been talking about things in the end. God has spoken to both men and women about future events beyond their lifetime. I mean, we have whole books dedicated to things like Daniel seeing things beyond his life, John seeing things beyond his life. Enoch saw things, and though we don't have tons of recording, here's a little bit in Jude, he saw things beyond his life that hasn't even occurred yet, yet his faith has spoken it already. And we're going to walk into those things. We're going to begin to see. In fact, right now, some very strong end time events are taking place because once again, Israel is being attacked. Hallelujah. And as a result of that, we need to pray for Israel. Some of these things are what's happening in the end. They've been more attacked now. In fact, this generation is not going to go before the kingdom returns. And that's those who were born in 1948. Are you hearing me? So we need to know what time it is. And then we also need to know our season. And our season is a season of branching. The branches will go out. We saw this in Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3. If you'll turn your attention there, I'm just going to read the first three verses today. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." We said last week that this is that Jesus quotes this scripture in the Luke account concerning, he opened up the Isaiah 61 account of this and began to read this and said, this scripture has been fulfilled, meaning, you know, he stopped obviously at the favorable year of the Lord. And he said, this scripture has been fulfilled in front of your eyes. But he said, the good news will be preached. Now, we went on and showed in scripture last week that the good news is the gospel of the kingdom. The good news is not isolated to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The good news is actually about his kingdom. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is access to that kingdom because you cannot get there any other way. You must be born of God, and Jesus had to pay the price so you could become a child of God. Your sin has been paid for through the blood of Jesus. His assignment was to save you so he could get you back in the kingdom and give you dominion again. He did not save you to take you to heaven. He saved you to bring heaven to earth through your life. Are you hearing me? And there's always going to be a heaven on earth existence because in the end there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven to the earth. And God himself will take up residence on planet earth. Hallelujah. So with that being said, the gospel that Jesus is preaching is the good news of the kingdom of God. And so that's what we preach here. The kingdom of God is very important because the kingdom of God is where life exists. Jesus is the king. He sits on the throne. His father sits on the throne. He sits at the right hand of his father. And if you're born again, you've been raised up and seated together with him in Christ. You're in the king. You are a child of the king. Amen. You've been delivered, but you also have been appointed and anointed. Hallelujah. The same anointing that is on King Jesus has been conferred or transferred to you. Hallelujah. And as he is, so are we in this earth. Jesus didn't walk around depressed, worried, concerned, nor storing up treasures for himself on the planet. He wasn't trying to retire. All he was wanting to do was do the will of his father. And that's all we should want to do is the will of our father in the power of his spirit. Are you with me? So are you born again? If you're born again, then turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 has some things to say about branches. He says this, "I am the true vine and my father is the vine dresser. Every, what is that? Every what? Every what? branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will bear more fruit. Jesus says, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, no thing, nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. Hallelujah. Now there's a lot in this passage of scripture. We may or may not get through it today. We'll find out. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. So the Father is the vine dresser because Jesus only does what the Father says. In essence, the vine can only do what the Father ordained for it to do. It's within itself to do that. When God spoke things into creation, they do what they do because it was within the design. Are you hearing me? So Jesus said, now I am the true vine, but you understand it's my Father who is addressing the vine itself. I am the source, the roots. I'm the foundation, and off of me are branches. Each branch in and of itself will bear fruit or should bear fruit. Let's put it this way, is expected to bear fruit. God never intended for a person to be a branch and have no fruit. In God's kingdom, he does not see branches alone. He sees fruitful branches. Because if all he sees is a branch, then an axe is coming. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. Okay. An axe is coming. It's cut off. A branch connected to the true vine is not allowed to suck resource without producing the life of that resource. Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to do it Jesus' way? Because Jesus is talking here. Okay. Just wanted to let me preface a few things before I go further because I know where we're going. Amen. Is Jesus talking? Are these his words? Is he the word?
Yes.
Does he have the right to define himself?
Yes.
So it's not our job to convince Jesus he's not saying what he's saying. It's our job to renew our thinking to what Jesus is saying. And Jesus says, now if a branch shows up on my vine that has no fruit, it's going to get cut off. Are you hearing me? So Jesus never... The vine dresser is an inspector. And he comes down his vine because he knows the source is pure. There's nothing wrong with the root. Because the root's pure. The true vine's pure. It's Jesus. But the branches are determining whether or not fruit are showing up or not. Because source is getting out to the branch to produce fruit. The question is the branch allowing the fruit to occur? If there's fruit, in a season. What's going to happen after the fruit manifests? We're going to harvest it. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, when people encounter you, they should taste and see that the Lord is good. Because your harvest would look like that. You're giving the fruits of the Spirit away in the way you conduct in life. When you get in a line and all of a sudden something's going on and you want to be aggravated, instead you pull off the fruit of patience and long-suffering and you feed everybody these things. And then everybody tastes and sees that the Lord is good through you. And once you give your fruit away, then there's no more fruit on the branch. And the Lord says, that was a good season. Let's go to the next one. Well, how do you get more fruit in the next season? You're going to get cut. If you're coming to church and you're never getting cut. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. If you can sit in a congregation year after year and never feel the prune. Hallelujah. Be like, man, that cut me today. You should just go ahead and start running and shouting and dancing instead of crying and whining. Because many people want to resist the prune, but then the next season comes. Because God never, listen, He's not satisfied with a branch that only bears fruit or bears the same fruit every season. Yo. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm not being planted in this place for 20 years to not have more fruit. And you're not my fruit, just to let you know. How many people attend this church are not my fruit? Okay. The number of people are not my fruit. How many people I preach in front are not my fruit. You can't define my fruit because my fruit's spiritual. Oh, okay. Hallelujah. No, I produce my own fruit. And man, I get cut in seasons upon seasons upon seasons so I can bear more fruit. Will it ever end? Nope. Not while I remain in the earth, but I enjoy it. Because I know, well, if I do that, that's more fruit. I said, that's more fruit. More people have lost out with God because they will not go through the pruning season. The pruning season, you run the risk of bearing no fruit in the next one. And then the vine dresser comes down. It was like, how come there's no fruit on this branch like last year? Now you understand, He's patient. I'm going to give you another one. Jesus said, I don't remember if it was a parable in and of itself. I'd have to go back because it just came to me in the spirit. He said the farmer came and there was a particular tree bearing no fruit. And he says, cut the thing down, man. Just cut it down. And the servant says, hold on a second. I know it's been 3 years, 2 years or 3 years. I can't remember now right off the top of my head. He said, whatever the year was, two or three. He says, let me dig a trench around it, put some fertilizer. Let's go one more time. If it doesn't bear fruit, we'll cut it down. Come on. So you know, the Lord can go past you in a season. Oh, y'all don't. Can go past you in a season unfruitful, and you think that you're all right with God. He can swing through a second season. You're doing the same thing you've always been doing, not bearing any more fruit. And He's like, something's up with that branch. He come through a third year. You up here worshiping, act like you got everything right with God. But He knows. God knows it all. We only deceive ourselves. He can pass through and be in a season. We'll just cut that off. That the true vine say, let's give it one more. But that doesn't stop the inevitable if fruit doesn't come. Because even the servant doesn't say, God forbid it. Let's just keep it. It produces shade. He said that thing was not designed to just produce shade. It was designed to produce fruit. Jesus had a problem with things that look like they're bearing fruit, but aren't. Jesus himself took care of one tree in particular and did a king's decree on it. Well, nobody ever eat figs from you again. And the next day it was withered up at its roots. Quit sucking from the resources if you're not producing fruit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Come on, are y'all with me? All right, but let me break this down a little bit because I need to help you. Who's the true vine? Jesus. Who are the branches? We are. Every branch is to be in him. In him. I said in him. Means you have to be attached. Notice the branch that did not produce fruit was cut off. It's still a branch, but it's no longer attached. You can be a branch, but that doesn't mean you're an attached branch. And there's a difference. I said there's a difference. We've got to be attached. Now, I'm going to have to expand this a little bit because, again, we try to interpret based upon our own personal preference. And as a result of that, we misinterpret many things because we do not take the Bible in full context. Are you hearing me? Okay. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, he can do nothing. Verse 7, if, conditional statement. If you abide in me. Conditional statement. Who's determining who's abiding? You are. So you can't say, well, you know, the scripture says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but you can leave him. Because number one, we say it's a relationship. No one would consider a one-sided, one person doing it all and the other doing nothing a relationship. Yet we treat Jesus this way. Well, he did it all. I could do nothing. I can still do nothing now that I'm saved. Well, that's not what Jesus says. He said you were created for good works if you actually read past where it says you were saved by grace through faith. Right. It's not your work to please God and tell him, look what I did. You have to accept me. It is his work that he did that you accepted that he says, now that you're like me, now walk like me, do like me, perform like me. I've got some things prepared for you to walk with me because we're going to co-labor together. You cannot find anywhere, even in the old covenant, where God's doing everything independent of man and man doesn't have some layer of responsibility. Who brought manna in the wilderness? God did. But who had to pick it up if they were going to eat? It doesn't say God brought manna. Then the Lord sent angels to pick it up. And while they laid in their tents, laid down in their tents, waiting for the angels to come, and then would come and feed them the manna. Let me have some more. I mean, this is how we're treating Jesus. He does everything. We just sit back because we're no good. Sorry, sinners, man. We just lucky to get in. We can't do anything. I'm not going to do anything. God forbid I put forth any effort. And the Lord's like, and I put my spirit in you, and you going to act like you can't do something? Well, I expect you to do like I did. I obey Dad, you obey Dad. I follow the Spirit, you follow the Spirit. Amen. No, there's a part we have to do. And doing is our faith in action. Because we trust the Word. Come on, y'all with me? I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If you abide in me. Conditional statement, verse 7. If you abide in me. If you abide in me. Now, he goes on in verse 7. He says, and my... Notice he doesn't say, and I abide in you here. In verse 5, he says, if you abide in me and I in him. Meaning, if you abide in me and I abide in you. But Jesus goes on and says, okay, let me do another qualifier. If you abide in me and my words... abide in you. So he's giving you indication. How am I abiding in you? If you abide in me, but how am I abiding in you? It's my words. Well, what's the big deal about his words? Sure they are. But many people know his word and have no life. So abiding in his word doesn't mean that you know his word. Because many people, by trivia, know the word. So there's something else about this abiding. This abiding is more than just being connected. It's about where the source or the action or the governance or the behavior or the way you do things. So again, if I'm in you and you're in me, then my word's in you and you're doing my word. Correct? Well, what has his word said? Because for some people, you would think the only thing Jesus said was accept me as your Savior, that I died on the cross and rose from the grave. Ask me to come into your heart so I'll save you so that when you die, you get to go to heaven. And that's all you need to abide in. Because that's all I'm talking about. But does Jesus say more than just be born again?
Yes.
Verse 7. If you abide in me and my... What's that?
Words.
Plural. There are a lot more words. Jesus gave instruction well beyond just be born again. In fact, he only communicated being born again one time in John chapter 3, and that was at 2 o'clock in the morning to a religious man. That wasn't even a public preaching. But he had a lot to say about the kingdom of God and what it was like and how you're to behave and how you're supposed to function, how you're supposed to live and how you're supposed to move after God and what God's done for you, but what you're supposed to do for God. There are many things that he said beyond just being born again.
Right.
He made statements like this. Well, if you're born again and I forgave you, well, then you got to forgive others.
Right.
So you can't say, well, I'm born again. I'm going to heaven when I die, but I can't forgive this person.
Right.
Well, then his word doesn't abide in you.
Right.
And are we saying that word's not is optional? So how can you say you're bearing fruit and not doing forgiveness? That's just one example. I believe the word talked about us being healed. I think the word happened to say this. Listen, don't even go witness to nobody till the power comes. There was much instruction that comes from his word. So there's much we are to do. Well, what else about Jesus? Does it say? It says, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 9:6 says this. It says, a child will be born, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his,
Shoulders.
There'll be no end to the increase of his government, which is in his shoulders. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head, And we are his, what are we? We're his body. And again, a head cut off from the body is not living. The body is definitely not living without the head. So the context he's trying to tell us is that Jesus and his body should be inseparable. They should abide. Just like Jesus saying the vine and the branch should be intimately connected. Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. But most people are only interpreting this as in Jesus or in his word that I read myself when I read it. Jesus is the head of the body. Well, what's the body? We are, but there's another description of the body. It's his church. So if you're going to abide in his word, he has the word. He says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You equally abide by being continually connected to the church he assigned you to. Yes. Amen. Now we're going to get quiet. Okay, that's fine. Everybody wants their personal Jesus. Let me tell you, he's not just personal. He's personally aware of you. He personally cares for you. He personally has a destiny for you, but it's not for yourself. You've got to go bigger than you. So it says, my words are to abide in you. And one of my words is you need to connect with a brother. And in fact, if we were to go back and read this passage of scripture, because I omitted some, I went from 8 and jumped on down to we're going to jump to verse 16 here in a minute. But if you read beyond 8, it starts talking about how you're to love the brother. Well, you learn about the brethren or your brothers and sisters in Christ by connecting to his church. Now, this is no problem. And really, I should get a lot more amens right now for everybody who comes to church all the time. I mean, you should be championing this concept right now, you know, and don't get quiet with the ones that are going with the, oh my gosh. Okay? Leave that for online people. That's why they're online. Okay? We assemble. Why? Because, again, how do you expect to produce great fruit and be separated from the church? Because at the end of the day, you can't talk to me about church and it be the real church that Jesus is building. Jesus said, I will build. That's right. Jesus did not say, I will come and just save individuals so I can take them to heaven when I die. He said, Peter, upon the rock that I am the Christ, the revelation that I'm bringing the kingdom back, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Upon this revelation, I will build my church. It includes people, and he wants all of us to come into it. But at the end of the day, he wants us to assemble. He wants us to come together. He wants us to abide together. And so when he's talking about I'm the vine, you're the branches, if a man abides in me, he's equally saying if he abides in me, because again, you can't really abide in Jesus other than his word or in his recreation, but then you abide in his church because he's the head of the church. You abide there. That means it's a life source. Because if you think you can live outside the church, the devil's got the first step of deception and is weakening your fruit. When does a branch tell the vine or the tree, I'll connect with you next week? Have you ever gone to a forest and seen a branch off the tree and the next week, see the same branch back in the tree? Like, wow, wasn't that branch on the ground yesterday? Oh, it went to church. I don't want to hear this. Branches come from the source. I mean, we have created churches, I'm going to use that term very loose, where we are accommodating. We had someone want to utilize the mall. They wanted to do some kind of fundraiser, of which I was open for that. But they wanted a particular individual, a fictitious character, to show up at the event, of which that fictitious character is not allowed to show up at the event. And so I gave them options without the fictitious character being able to come to the event. I'm being very general, I know. However, so they write back and say, well, the fictitious character has to come because the community expects it. And so what we do is we're building within our churches things to accommodate branches. And say, instead of saying, you can't produce unless you're connected. The vine doesn't come to the branch. Let me just say it this way. The vine didn't come because of you. The vine came because the Father spoke, let man have dominion. And so the Father said, I'm obligated to create a pathway so man can have dominion. Since I said, let man have dominion, he'll have dominion over all the things in Genesis 1:26. And when Adam fell from dominion, God said, I will bring myself in the form of man to give a pathway back so my word can come to pass for all those who choose. So the obligation to his word was more powerful than his personal relationship with you. God does not let personal relationship violate his word. And he is not compromising what he says church is. How do dead things tell life how to live? So what's happening is the branches are telling the vine what it wants, and the fungus and the disease that's on it is starting to spread to the vine. Well, the vine already bore that price once. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. He's not bearing that anymore. He's already done that. He's like, I'm just a life source. Now, we'll talk about this next week, but you were engrafted in. Why in the world would you want to be cut off? Or why would you personally allow yourself to be separated? You want to give a demonstration of how vitally important branches are? Everybody hold their breath right now. I'll tell you when to breathe. Ready? Hold your breath. Do it. Oh, see, you're not. You're laughing. Hold your breath. You know, the world record's like 20 minutes, so we'll see if we can do 21, okay? Once you breathe, raise your hand. Keep it up. Mm-hmm. I'm not intimidated by any of y'all right now, I want you to know that. Just keep them up. Put them up high. Yeah, there you go. I'm looking around. Uh-huh. Wow. Keep them up. Some of y'all, keep your hands up. I got a few over here holding out. Wow. Y'all must practice at the house. Oh, there they go. Because it's husband and wife. That's what I'm saying. They're like, must sit in the bed at night and go, let's see how long we can hold our breath tonight. Is that what y'all do?
Like, I can hold it longer than you.
Whoever breathes first has to take care of the kids tonight. That's what it is. I got it now. That's how it is. All right, you can put your hand down. Breathing's important. In fact, if you'd have held long enough, you'd have passed out. Right? We know this. That's how important church is. But we treat it like it's not. And I understand that hinders our doctrine. Because we want to stay American. We want to pick and choose when we come, what we do, how we do it. Jump down to verse 16, John 15, 16. A little Selah moment real quick. You did not choose me. You did not choose me, but I... You didn't come by and say, look at that vine, I think I'll jump on it. That's not how it worked. No, the vine said, you look pretty dead. I can give you life. How about you come and let me engraft you in right now? Let me start letting some life flow through you. This is what's so awesome about God. You can be a rotten, dead, lifeless branch. But God can cut a piece of you off, which is called self. That's what lordship's about. Let's cut self off. Now, I'm going to engraft you in. And what seemed like there was no hope, he resurrects you. Life starts flowing through you. All of a sudden, you're not brittle. Brittle, like everything hurts you. You're easily bruised. He'll get you hard, full of sap, vigor. Put bark on you. He'll put you right back in there and then cause your fruit to start showing up. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Now look at this choosing. He said, now you didn't choose me, but I chose you, but I didn't choose you just so you look pretty. You're not supposed to be on the vine looking pretty. Look at me. Woo-hoo-wee. That's not you. That's not why God's like, man, we don't look good. Let's put them in. Right? No, he chose you and appointed you that you would go and what? Bear fruit. The reason you're getting engrafted in is so fruit production can manifest. And he's already said earlier, if I come through and fruit production is not happening, well, man, I just cut you back off. He said that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. When we read this scripture, we assume that it becomes obvious when a branch has no fruit on it. But Jesus does talk about when he says no fruit, he's not saying fruitless. Come on. This is why you have to read the Bible in context. Because if the branch does not stay with the vine, it's its source. When you're born again, the Lord will always instruct you to get to an assembly place. And here's the thing. In our nation, to have one is not difficult. But in other nations, when they hear the opportunity to assemble, they risk their lives. They don't go, well, in America, those are just people watching on TV. Even if when they are not allowed, they look for ways to. Because in every nation, because in every believer, God says, if you're going to bind the vine, you're going to, number one, you're going to know me, you're going to be in my word, you're going to flow with my spirit, and you're going to be connected to my body. That's what it means to abide. You cannot abide in his word without coming to church. Unless there's not a place to assemble. But you know, I have found that God has found places all over the planet. And at the end of the day, there's no excuse in the U.S. So if you want it difficult to assemble because you hate going to church, then move to the countries where it's illegal. Leave. So that you can stand before your Lord one day and say, you know, I went to that place, there was no churches there, Lord. Because you know I'd have done it. You cannot say you're abiding and not be habitual in the church. Because branches that do not bear fruit doesn't mean they're fruitless. Right. Hallelujah. The same Jesus says this in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, just so you'll know, starting in verse 15, he said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Verse 17. Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears. Do they both bear fruit?
Yes.
A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit, but they both produce fruit. How do you know if one's good or bad? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Let's read that verse together. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, so that tells me there are trees that are bearing fruit. But there's a condition that makes it not good. And if it's bearing fruit that's not good, it's the same as when the vine said to the branches, if I come through and you're bearing no fruit, you're cut off and you're thrown into the fire. Here, bad fruit gets the same treatment. What's interesting about this passage of scripture is it starts out with false prophets. The ones that have the illusion that they're right with God, but on the inside, they're full of self-interest. In essence, they know how to speak things that have the ability to produce good fruit, but they themselves don't have the capacity. Are you hearing me? And this is problematic, especially in our last days. Look what it says here in Hebrews, just to help you out. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, it says, For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. He is an... Now, that's a born-again believer that sits in the place called church that only teaches elementary principles. You want to know what elementary principles are? Go on to the next chapter. It starts in verse 1 and it tells you the things being preached that are elementary. That's milk. It's milk. It's milk. And if all you hear is milk, then we have a problem with what happens in verse 14. Verse 14 says, but solid food is for the mature who, because of what? Practice. Practice? What's that mean? That means you're doing what you're hearing. You just don't hear it, you actually do it. It says don't get mad, so you don't get mad. You're in a situation that you could get mad, but instead you bear the fruit of self-control. You get in a situation where somebody's wronged you, and the Lord says, forgive, so you bear that fruit. And then you treat them like they never blew it. And you bear that fruit. You're bearing the fruit of patience. You're bearing the fruit of kindness. You're getting around people that are not, that are always getting under your skin, yet you can constantly keep producing kindness. That's practice. Who, because of practice, have their senses trained to what? So if you are not mature, you do not know what's good or evil, which tells me this, you'll have a hard time discerning fruit. But the Lord knows fruit. He knows what's good and what's bad. I said, He knows what's good and what's bad. He knows. He knows, because there are branches that are bearing fruit that are not connected to the vine. It's easy for a person to disconnect from the church and go do their own thing, because there's plenty in the scripture to let you know what good things are. Oh, y'all, okay. All right, let's go on. I'm going to give you some more. Matthew, turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Hallelujah. I mean, because we act like we can exist in the vine and church is an option. Like we're really going to understand the word without the equipping of the saints. Because again, I'm all excited about the prophecy of branches, but you got to understand what a branch is. So, which means this is who I'm looking for. This is how I determine whether you a branch with Anchor Faith Church or not. You're not a branch with us just because you say you are. Because the minute I start preaching branches, everybody thinks they're a branch. But if I don't qualify what a branch is, they'll leave the church, do their own thing, and say they're connected. Amen. Well, what church do you go to? Well, we don't. All right. Well, we go to Anchor Faith. Well, I hadn't seen you. Forever. Oh, you know, we're just doing the work of the Lord. And you can go. How are you doing a work and you're not abiding? Oh, well, me and Jesus were tight. Well, Jesus gave you a pastor. He did that. Yeah, I don't need a pastor. I just have the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost tells you you need a pastor. Because this work you have is bigger than you. Got to identify the branch. Matthew 19 verse 16 says this, and someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? What good thing? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, notice what Jesus didn't say. You've got no fruit of that. Jesus didn't say, that's not true. You've not done that. No, he did it. It's how he was doing it, though. So Jesus says, let me talk to your trunk. Because you don't realize your branch ain't connected to me. Your branch is connected to another trunk, a different vine. Now, if you want to be complete, since you are trying to, you're bearing fruit that looks like the fruit off of my branches. However, it's not actually good, lest any man should boast. Their fruit, but it's not my fruit, because it didn't come from. He said, if you want to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, to come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. What did he realize? He's cutting me off my tree. Yes. That's been my source. Yeah. It's what makes my decisions. Yeah. It's why I've been so benevolent. It's why I do what I do. And he's telling me to cut myself off from that and come to him. He's saying, cut that off and let come and get engrafted to me. Let me sever you off your trunk and let me bring you into me. Now, you need to, in order to get full understanding, look it over in the Luke Mark account. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 says this, and he was setting out on a journey, and a man ran up to him and knelt down before him and said, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So he's questioning his ability to determine what's good. Oh, okay. Isn't it amazing? This guy was confident. Good teacher. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, why does he call Jesus good? Okay. He's calling Jesus good based upon certain things. Jesus says, don't you know that I'm from the... If you don't believe that I came from the Father, at least believe what? The works. And what were the works? It was the fruit of his obedience. So this guy knew that Jesus was doing something. He had some connection to God, and he was able to determine it from Jesus's fruits. So he says, good teacher, because obviously I'm producing fruit, but I still feel like I'm lacking. Or I'm producing fruit, and I want you to justify it. Because this is a question. Could it be that he was being kind of, I don't know the term for that, whether that's being ironic or when you're asking the question without asking the question? Rhetorical. You know, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Like, surely you're going to say, I got it. Because all that I've done. Right? Jesus says, why do you call me good? Only God's good alone. Then he goes, you know the commandments. And he goes through the list, right? He gets in verse 20, and he said to him, teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. So he was moved. He's like, man, this boy wants to produce fruit so bad, but everything he produces is bad, is rotten to the core, because it's not connected to me. He's using me. He's using my word. He's using my methods. But he's not connected to. You know how many people are born again and using God's word but are not connected to his church? They have nothing to do with his church. They are not connected to a source. They're not finding where their fit is. They're not trying to get connected somewhere and get submitted and get around other brothers and get around a vision that's bigger than themselves to change and transform a community. They don't want to be around a vision. Now, all they want to do is do their own thing. Their only vision is their only house and their one Jesus. And they're going to read their scripture and do their personal devotions whenever they they want to. And they're not always producing the fruit. And then when they don't produce the fruit in the highways and the byways, then, you know, they make excuses. Then they end up coming and misinterpreting God and saying, you know, that he does different things, that a pastor that's rightly dividing the word would help clean all your thinking up so that you wouldn't think like that. And then you get around a network of people that would hold you accountable. Because it's easy to sin when no one's holding you accountable. And you're like, well, I'll just go to the Lord. Well, you understand, you are. How come you keep going to the Lord when you could actually elevate beyond that and quit walking in that sin and in that stronghold all the time? Because you get around some people to be holding you accountable, like, I'm not going to do that, because it will cost my team, my church, the actions of my life reflect bigger than me. See, when you stay isolated, then you accept your own fruit that by all rights God's saying is bad. We call it good, but the Lord doesn't. Well, you got fruit there. I got it, but it's not in me. The rich young ruler, Jesus, or the word he was doing, wasn't pulling from the source of who said it. Who's the branch? The one that's connected. The one that stays committed. The one that stays submitted. The one that says, my life's not my own. Yeah. And I think one of the most exciting things about pastoring and being at this moment now and hearing what the Lord has said about Anchor Faith Church is to say, man, there are a lot of committed people. Amen. And the reason why some of you, your branches are going to get further out is because, unfortunately, not enough are staying connected. You could have reached here, but because someone leaves, you're going to have to go further and get into the sphere that was designed for them. Have you ever watched the live oak, how it starts to go out and then all of a sudden that limb would just turn, pop out in a different direction? And the reason it does that is because it's like, this is where God wanted me to affect, but all of a sudden someone got disconnected. I'll go over here now to make influence where I never was designed to, but I'll just keep growing because I stay with the source. I'm truly a branch. I'm not trying to do my own thing. I'm not trying to build my own name. I'm not trying to do my own thing without having submission. You say, well, you're the pastor. Who are you submitted to? Pastor Kenneth Wayne Hagen. That's my pastor. And when he tells me to do something, I do it. And I'm connected. And I actually work on stuff for him as well. I'm not talking casual here, knowing him. I'm talking about fully engrafted in. I'm talking about bringing resource. I'm talking about showing up. I'm talking about speaking out. I'm talking about bringing other. I'm talking about he can call and know. Even though he knows, I oversee this. Because this branch reached out from Rhema and took a root right here and started to build. What you don't really understand is that I kind of came out and I dropped an acorn in St. Augustine because I never left Rhema. And I built a foundation of which my branch gets engrafted in. Hallelujah. And I advance Rhema's cause. Equally as I advance Anchor Faith. Equally. Because I'm a branch. I bear fruit. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. If you want more, subscribe to our message podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Rating and leaving a comment will go a long way with helping our messages get better circulation. If you'd enjoy watching our weekend messages, visit youtube.com/anchorfaith. We'd love it if you'd subscribe, leave a comment, or a like on the messages. If you'd like to find out more information about us and how we're influencing the world and help support the work we're doing by giving, just visit anchorfaith.com.